in the house one more time.
Amen. As somebody said, I was glad to be in the service. I'm glad to be in the service one more time. Hallelujah. Good morning. We thank God for you. I am Pastor Fisher, and this is St. Timothy Church, Straight Gate Ministries, and we are blessed to be here to present the Word of God to you today. Amen. And have a little time of fellowship. Amen. Via Facebook and all the other outlets where you can find us streaming today. Amen. It is great that you have chosen to be here, and we thank God for you. Amen. We do have a good word from the Lord, and we want to go before the Lord right now and lift up a word of prayer, as it is our custom. I always think of it as my privilege. All the time I agree with the songwriter, what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Amen. Amen. So the scripture says that whatsoever you ask in his name, that shall he do. The Lord has promised us great deliverance through the vehicle of prayer. Amen. So, amen. Don't ever forget that. Don't let the enemy catch you at a moment and realize, make you think somehow that God is not there for you. Because God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let us pray. Hallelujah. But this morning, Father, we want to give you highest praise. Father, we lift up your name. We thank you today for Jesus, the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, you said, every knee must bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So, Father, we thank you today for Jesus. We thank you for the revelation of your Son. And, Father, we pray for that you bless us today, God, because we want to bless you. We want to give you our very best and our very highest, Lord God. And so today we thank you for Jesus, because without him we can't do anything. So, Father, today we come asking for the forgiveness of our own transgressions and our own sinful thoughts and everything, Lord God. Wash us today afresh in the blood of the Lamb. You said that if we confess our sin, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, Father, we come today asking for that blessing, Lord God. Father, we thank you for everybody under the sound of my voice. We thank you for every good and perfect gift that you keep sending down from above. The enemy tries to come in, but you come in like a flood and you wash away all of his deceptions and all of that. For everyone who puts their trust in your Son, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. So, Father, today we want to thank you for healing mercies. We thank you for grace today, oh God. We thank you for joy unspeakable and full of glory. Somebody needs thanking you right now for healing, oh God, for lifting them up off of a bed of affliction. Father, somebody is thanking you for salvation today, that you saved their soul somewhere along the way, Lord God. And so we just want to say thank you today, God, for everything that you have done. We thank you for food on our tables. We thank you for clothes on our backs. Father, we thank you for everything, Lord God, because without you we can't do anything. So, Father, bless us today and help us understand some more things. Take us deeper into your word. Oh, God, we ask blessings for every ear and every mind, every eye that is tuned in on this broadcast, Lord God, whatever they need, because we know you can give them anything that they need, Lord God, because the earth is yours and the fullness thereof, this whole world and every one of us who dwell in it. And so, Father, we confess that because that's what you said in your word. So, Father, today we need you for cleansing. Some need you for healing. Some need you for understanding. Somebody needs you for a financial blessing. Somebody needs a way out of no way. Oh, God, and you know what it is. And so, Father, teach us just to touch and trust in you. Touch you by faith. Like the woman who had the issue of blood was pressing through the crowd just to get my finger on the hem of your garment. Help us today, Lord God, just to press our way on through and touch you by faith, Lord, in order that we might be delivered from whatever it is. And Father, we know you can do it, because if you did it then, you can do it right now. So, Father, bless us today. We need to hear from you today, oh God, in our spirit. And Father, we ask you to bless the word that you have given to be preached today, Lord God, that it would go out and touch somebody's life, that they might be saved, that they might be sanctified, that they might be healed, that they might be delivered, that whatever they need, oh God, that the word will touch their life and give them that which you have sent, oh God, on behalf of your Son, Jesus. It's only by his blood, his death, his burial, his resurrection, that anyone can be saved. So, Father, give that revelation today to somebody else, oh God, under the sound of my voice. And, Father, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor and all the glory, and we ask all this in the matchless name of Jesus, your Son, who you raised from the dead. And Father, we give you praise and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to stop just a minute and thank God. Hallelujah. It's always a great thing to come into his presence with thanksgiving and with praise. Hallelujah. And so we want to continue in that vein here today. We do, as I mentioned, have a word from the Lord that I think is timely for such a time as this. Amen. One of the things I noticed in the Old Testament, it talked about the sons of Issachar, who at one time in the history of Israel, one of the tribes of Israel, they understood the times and knew what Israel should do. And so that's what I'm praying for me and you, is that we understand the times that are going on in this world. That we realize that the devil is the prince of this world. He is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. And so we need to understand that. We need to understand the times where we are right now and realize that these things will be on the rise in the latter days, as the scriptures clearly told us. So I got a word that I want to share with you today that I believe will bless your soul and bless your spirit as it blessed mine when God was delivering it into my mind. And so we want to talk today from the Old Testament book of the Psalms. We're going to look at Psalms 32, just a couple of verses. Most of you know you can find our notes online on our website at teachingbible.org. If you haven't gotten them otherwise, just follow me in your Bible, Psalms 32, the first two verses. Then we want to look in the New Testament at the book of Matthew, the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 to 30. And I'll be reading the KJV today, and just for this particular lesson. And so what I want you to understand, we want to talk today about some things that I believe will help you. I know they're going to help you. There's no question about it. If you trust God and you believe him, because our connection to God is always by one thing, and that is faith. Faith, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. See? So faith, that's the vehicle that connects us to Almighty God. Now, it's not just generic faith somewhere coming from the great blue or from on the other side of Mars or what kind of other stuff you might hear in the world. The faith that you and I need is faith in Almighty God, who has given us an entire word, every word. And that's what Jesus said, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, why would he command his church to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God if it were not possible? That's the first thing I want to talk with you about today before we dig into this word. Because if he said you can live by every word and we don't have every word, that's a problem. That would be a problem. But you know what? The scripture says God cannot lie. And we bank on the fact that God cannot lie. And we've been talking about this for several weeks. Well, we talk about it forever. It's our very present thing that we do all the time. It's talking about faith, trusting God's word. And the problems that we have today are so multiplied because so many in the world have departed from God's word. You can listen to a message from so many today and hear very little of God's word. And you know what? All of whatever I think, whatever the politicians say, whatever the kings of the world and the rulers and the scientists, you know what that will do for you? Nothing as far as salvation. It will do nothing for you. If anything, it will hinder your salvation. The only thing that can bless me and you with what we really need is the word of God. And that's why we need, I want to tell you today, we exalt God's word because God, the Bible says, has exalted his word above his name. So don't let the smooth taste fool you. All these folk out here with all this stuff, they think they have some solution for you. And it doesn't make any difference what community they come from. Our connection to Almighty God is by faith. And faith, the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So in other words, whatever you haven't seen that God promised, guess what, baby? It's on the way. And you know what? All you have to do is embrace it right now. That's why it says, now, faith is the substance of the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So by faith, we can connect and contact Almighty God. Faith is, as it said here, I want to give you another way to think about it this morning. It's the same thing, in fact, but this may help you understand and think about it from the perspective of the Scripture. Faith is confidence that you and I have that's been given to us by grace, which is unmerited favor, through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, because God sent His Son, Jesus the Christ, into the world, and He centered the whole world around Him, then you and I can trust God. We have a settled confidence that God will do everything else that He promised. You know why? Because He did everything He said pertaining to Christ, His Son, in the first place, to send Him into the world, and He put Him in the world centrally. And I'm amazed every day when I see people who say they doubt that Jesus was in the world. They have a problem. Somebody wants to nitpick a name or have some problem with something about Jesus. And that's nothing but the work of Satan. I want to admonish you, whoever you are today, cast that out of your mind. Get back in God's Word. It is without flaws, without error, and it'll be here when the heavens and earth have passed away. Trust in the Lord, the Bible says, with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, much less Tom, Dick, or Harry, who doesn't believe God's Word, much less them, but not even in your own. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. You know what? I love that. I need the Lord to direct my path. I need Almighty God in my life every second of every day to direct my path. And you know what? I know He's doing it. Now, how do I know? By faith. Because He said He would do it. He will never come short of His word. You can count on Him every day because you know what? You've been counting on Him anyway. You know, He's been bearing us along even when we didn't know Him, even when we didn't have an understanding of His great love. Even though every second we've been in the world, His entire word has been published, is in the world, and Jesus would never tell anyone to that we should live by not by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God if it was not available. That would make that a lie, would it not? So by faith, embrace the truth that God has said. Don't let anything take your mind off of what thus saith the Lord. And you know what? There's going to be plenty of it. We get more and more and more every day. Got folks talking about, we're on Mars and so on and so forth. Good. Okay, I'm glad you're on Mars. But you know what? The heavens and the earth shall pass away. That includes Mars, Pluto, Venus, everything else. You better get in the book. Get down to earth. Get in the book. Because you know what? You're going down to earth eventually. You're going to be 6 feet under the earth. And you're going to need Jesus before you get there. And so I admonish you right now today, get your minds out of the stars and the clouds and everywhere where the devil wants you to put it, and get it back in God's word. Walk by faith and not by sight. God says, I've given you everything you need for life and godliness by through the knowledge of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So God has called me and you to trust in His Son, Jesus, and He is the most famous person in the world. I don't care what the hypocrites and the people who doubt the truth, I really don't care what you say. You know why? Because you don't have a heaven or hell to put me in. Almighty God has promised and given His word. I trust His promises. I lean on them every day, and I speak them out of my mouth because I know they're true. And the Bible says that the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Who shall descend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to raise Christ up again from the dead? But He says, but the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, which is the word of faith that I preach unto you. And so you better keep the word of faith in your mouth. You better ignore the foolishness in this world. And I don't care how many encyclopedias and documentations you write, the word of God will be here when your works have been burned up and go up in smoke. And God has promised it. So the truth is God loves you, and you need to understand that He has given you His word. Trust Him. If you can't trust God, can't trust His word, what can you do? And the answer is you shall fail. But let's get back to where I'm at here. That was my part in my rant here this morning. But let me move on. Walking by faith is essential for our lives since we have been called to be learners, which are disciples. That's what a disciple is, a learner. Some people twist that up. A disciple is simply a learner. Jesus, as we mentioned in a previous lesson in Matthew 11:28, said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And he says, in me you shall find rest for your souls. If you want your soul to rest and not be tossed and driven to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, trust in the Lord with all your heart. If you don't even believe he can give you his word, why should he do anything else for you? That's a good question I want to ask you. Why should God do anything for you if you don't believe he can give you his word? If you rather believe the devil, the world, or the flesh instead of God, why should he help you with anything? Even though he's given you everything. You can't take your next breath without him. You can't open your eyeballs or bat your eye without him. You need God for everything. And he's been in your life, and he wants to bless you even further. And the problem is what we started with at the beginning, faith. Where is your faith? The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we got to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Believe him by faith. Embrace the truth. Faith is confidence that God is able to perform everything that he promised. Not that we're going to doubt it or debate it. It's not debatable, sir. Not debatable, ma'am. It's God's word. It's what he said. He said, you shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I guarantee you the word of God is there. The Bible says it is a shield to those who trust in him. You see? So trust, confidence, believing in God. And we're disciples. We're learners. We don't know it all. Great news is you can start right now. You don't have to know it all. All you have to know is the link that connects us to Almighty God, who is Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he sent him to make that very simple for me and you. And so we want to trust in Jesus the Christ. And so we have been called to be learners or disciples of Jesus Christ. He came all the way out of eternity into the flesh when the fullness of time was come, as Galatians 4 and 4 said, in order to go through the entire human experience so that he could relate to everything that you and I have to deal with. And we're going to talk about that a little here today in this lesson, so that we can do everything in accordance with the truth of the gospel and according to the commands taught by the apostles of the early church. See, that's why he came and he selected 12 individuals, as you know. Judas, of course, betrayed him, and you know the whole story of that. Maybe you don't, but the fact is he selected 12 ordinary people. Not the elite, not the so-called righteous up at the temple. He didn't exclude them, but he didn't come to them. He came to common everyday people like you and me. And he blessed them with the blessing that Almighty God was sending to have faith and to be witnesses of his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection. But before he did that, before he made his way to the cross, he explained, we could say, that's what the scripture means when it says that we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth, John says. There, that the Word became flesh, John 1:14, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now keep this in mind, Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. That means he's the only son God had that was born of a woman. Now it's contrary to, for example, Adam, who was created from the dust of the ground, and we're going to get into that in just a minute. So Jesus came, the only begotten Son of God. Very, very important. Because he went through the entire human experience so that he could relate to me and you. Now this is from the highest court in existence, that God Almighty sent his Son to be the mediator between me and you, common old sinful people like me and like you. And he did this in order to say, I'm going through the whole experience from the womb to the cross. And without sin, I'm going to show them how it's done. And so the first advent of Christ was him to come to show the world that I am Almighty God in the flesh. I'm walking among you. I'm in a body of flesh. And that was not a problem. And you wouldn't have a problem with that if you believe Genesis chapter 1, where it says that God, when he had made everything on the sixth day, he said, let us make man after our image and after our likeness. And so he had already born the image of man in the sense that the original man who was without sin was made in his image and in his likeness. But the fact is that man, Adam, got contaminated with sin because he did exactly what I'm talking with you about here today. And we have to get this. By faith, we need to understand God means what he said. And he said what he means, and he said it all. There isn't anything missing. Ladies and gentlemen, nothing is missing. Everything God said is pinpoint accurate, and it will be here. It's indelible, let me say. That's a good word we use today. In other words, you can't get it out. It's indelible. It will last when the heavens and earth have passed away. It's enduring. So what we have to learn to do is not let our tarnished sinful mind and the corruption of the world, nor of our own flesh, nor of the devil, stop us from receiving the pure engrafted word. We talked about that last week in James. He said, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. See, you know what? The world will always try to infect you with some kind of a hogwash to get your mind off of Jesus. I see it every day. I'm amazed. All the cults and false religions are centered on putting Jesus out of the supreme spot where he belongs. And the truth is, where the Bible says he is, furthermore, is that without him, we can't do anything. Read John 15. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. There's absolutely nothing you can do without Jesus. So you can have religion and walk around and act like you're holy and all that. So, I'm skipping Jesus and going straight to the Father. You know where you're going to go? Straight to hell. Because without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. You can make all the phony religion you want till you've turned blue. You're still going to hell if you don't know who Jesus is. You know what? We all should be going to hell, truth be told. But the fact is, God is merciful. And he loves us. And so he came and he made a way. One way. Let me make it plain this morning. One way. There's not two. There's only one. And we're going to see that today as we look at the text. There's one way you can be right with God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So either that's true or it's a lie. If you say it's a lie, then go on to hell, because that's what you have to do. Because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, that means you or whoever else, I don't care what you call it or how much money you got, how many members you got, doesn't make any difference. Money, members, notoriety, fame, going to hell without Jesus. Without Jesus, you cannot do anything. God has set the standard. Nobody can change it. We must believe it and embrace it by faith. You know what? It's the most practical possible thing you could believe. That's what really disturbs me. It disturbs me when I hear people saying, trying to attack Jesus, and he came to save you from your sin, and he is the only one who is acceptable to God the Father. And we have all these people waltzing around, from all means politically correct, going politically to hell. You'll be in there with the rest of the political stuff. You need Christ today, right now. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He came because he loves you. What are these lying hypocrites and false religions? How do they love you? Please explain. What are they going to do? You know what? They got a problem themselves if they don't understand Christology, which is what God has sent. We need to understand that. So walking by faith is essential. I'm going to repeat this for our lives, since we have been called to be learners, disciples of Jesus Christ, so that we can do everything in accordance with the truth of the gospel and according to the commands taught to the apostles by Christ, those of the early church. They have a very simple premise that is to remain in place. Notice that the teaching of the early church is a very simple premise, which is to remain in place until the end of the church age, of this church age that you and I are in, which is serving Jesus Christ at all costs. If you check your Bible, read the Bible, if you don't believe it, you got more trouble than what I can help you with today. You really do, and I'm praying for you hard. If you don't believe the Bible, you got more trouble than anybody can help you with today. Because I attest to you, the Bible is the truth of God. And it will be here when the heavens and the earth are passed away. It would behoove you to stop that program of unmitigated autonomy that's running in your system. Stop it today and turn around and take the gift that God has offered. He offers you faith. through his word, through the good news that I sent my only begotten son so that whosoever believes in him. That's another one. I want to stop at that again. Y'all know I love whosoever. If you know, if you've been listening to our ministry, whosoever means any of you. Doesn't make any difference what nation, tribe, kindred, tongue, or people, politics, political situation, whatever. None of that has any bearing on it. The word of God was here before this country was established as it is. So please don't get hung up in this country and lose your salvation. Don't do that. That would be foolish on your part. Trust God in his word, which is more ancient than every civilization that you know about and any that existed before. And people do stuff today, they call it science, and I want to let you know, if it does, if it makes God a liar, it ain't science, baby. Understand that. Because God invented science. God created everything. You don't know more about it than he does. Don't care who you are and how many degrees you have. You better watch them degrees, because there's going to be quite a few hot degrees in hell. But the fact is, God made everything, and he will not back down. The fact is, the heavens and the earth, he said, will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Put that in your pipe and smoke it if you don't believe that God is true. The Bible says, let God be true, though every man a liar. Understand that. And he's the only one. Let me tell you this. God's science is so profound that you ought to believe it. You know why? Because you can't get out the grave. I don't care how much you know. You have never gotten up out the grave, and you don't know how to do it. One person knows it. His name is Jesus. And I thank God he loves us. He loves you, whoever you are. You know what? He loves you. You keep trying to make other stuff and go around and circumvent the truth that he has already manifested in this world. It's the indelible, abiding truth of God. It will not change. So you can do what you want. All your science can't get you out the grave. You're heading for a coffin and you need Jesus. That's the truth. And he loves you and he's trying to get your attention. So we need to learn, as I'm going to go on and get to this here, that the very simple premise is to remain in place till the end of the church. This premise is that we need to be serving Jesus at all costs. And I put that in the plural, because any cost. Cost can be all right singular, but I put an S, because at all costs. We need to find a way to serve Christ Jesus. Jesus is the focal point of salvation. The Bible says, in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. People saying they want to glorify the Father, but we don't need Jesus. He's trusted. No, you are sick. You are spiritually sick and dead. Without him, you can't do anything. And you're heading for a dusty grave, and you'll find out when you get there, unless you repent. We need to learn how to serve Jesus at all costs, whatever it costs you. He said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for a soul? You know what? If you really care about your soul, you'll understand, I need my soul to be redeemed. I know I'm a sinner. I know some people have actually said, I'm not a sinner, and they look at themselves on some standard they created. The truth is, the Bible says, as we've already said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Go with me to Psalms 32, verse 1. Let me move along. Psalms 32 and 1, a psalm of David, a masochist. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Guile means hypocrisy, that you have some kind of an audacity in your spirit to have the nerve to think that you can do something without God. That's what guile is. If you have something in you, it's either your own mindset, it's some lie the devil told you, or some false organization talking about I'm the church, or I'm the whatever, this, that, or the other, or some scientist telling you, there was 150 billion years of something, and God already told you everything. And you have the nerve to think that's guile, hypocrisy, deeply seated to the point that you would allow anything to take your mind off the track of what must hit the Lord. And God has been clear, and he's given the greatest evidence that there ever is by raising his own son out of the grave. There's nothing to preach if there's a dead Jesus anywhere. They keep looking for one. You find people looking for one, and they keep telling you, oh, here, oh, we found one over here. You know what? You better check in with Jesus. You're going to need him when it's your turn. And the world is centered on him. Believe me, brothers and sisters, men and women, that there is nobody but like Jesus anywhere. That's how this time system got set up. It's based on Christ, the Messiah, Jesus, the Son of the living God, the resurrected one, who defeated death in the grave, has the power of death and hell in his hand, has the keys to death and hell. Let's go back on here. David going on here, he says, blessed is he whose transgression. That means when you willfully sin against God and you know it's a sin. You know what? I chill myself when I think about it. Because virtually every sin you do, you know about it. That's transgression. You know it's wrong. It's wrong. You know it. And you do it anyway. Why? Because I like it. It feels good. Or it makes me happy. Or it has some benefit that I have put in my own mind. See, you're running on unmitigated autonomy, I call it. In other words, you want to do what you want to do. You know it's wrong, but you keep doing it. We all do it, everyone. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. King David here had a few issues in his life that are recorded in the Bible. But he said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. It's not that the sin is not a big thing or anything. Or it's a blessing when God will not hold you accountable for your sin. That's what God's been trying to do. This is not New Testament, it's Old Testament. That's also repeated by Paul in the New Testament, in the book of Romans. And so the truth is, all the way from the beginning, from the fall of man, which took place in Genesis, there's always been sin in the world. And sin has always caused death, exactly like God said. He said to Adam, and he told him that the day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. And that was the very thing that happened. And since then, everyone, it's a sad report in all honesty, that everyone is born in sin and shaped in iniquity, like it says in Psalms 51. But God has been saving people all the way from Adam clear on up to now. And he made his love even more pronounced 2,021 years ago, when the Word became flesh. That's Jesus, the birth of Christ, the first Christmas, which had been promised all the way from the Garden of Eden when man initially fell into sin, Genesis 3:15. And so Jesus came right on schedule. This world, now you can go somewhere else, maybe that's where they're trying to go to Mars. But you know what? He created Mars too. And the date on Mars is the same as the date here on Earth. Because we only have one reasonable, true time system. That was man-made, but it was because Jesus is the most important individual in human history. So it would behoove you to look into it and find out why is that so. Why is it 2,021 years since Jesus was born? Check it out. Find out. And see, should you ignore that and listen to something else? Just do that, and that may help you today. Otherwise, I know you're rejoicing already if you love God. Faith believes what God says. It holds on to the promises that God has made. Because you know what? The Bible has promises all the way through to the new heaven and the new earth where there won't be any sin. No sickness, no death, no disease, no crying, no dying. The Bible says the former things have passed away. Behold, I create all things new. See? So God has promises there that are yet to be fulfilled. You and I who trust Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead, we embrace those promises like Abraham did when the Bible says that he took up his feet into his bed at the age of 175. He breathed his last and gave up the ghost, but he was looking for a kingdom whose city and a city whose builder and maker is God. He was looking forward. You know what that is? That's hope, which is by faith. So it's by faith that we understand, the Bible says, Hebrews 1, that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and that things which do appear were not made, things that exist were not made with things that do appear. In other words, God spoke, and out of nothing, everything came into being. See, that sounds like, I don't know what the scientists think, but it's the truth. It's what the theologians call ex nihilo, which is out of nothing, God spoke and created everything. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. And you and I accept that, and we believe it by faith. So we can embrace the promises that God has made for the future, and it's based on the reliability of everything he promised from the past all the way up until this second right now. And the truth is, David understood it. He said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. He said, I know I got sin. I know I'm not right. But thank you, Lord, for blessing me and forgiving me of my sin, that you have made a way to redeem me from the curse of sin, which is in this world. So you and I need to learn how to be serving Jesus at all costs, whatever it costs you, beloved. You know why? Because the ratio is 1-to-1. Everybody coming in, you are a steward of what you have while you're here, but you can't take it with you. It's not going to help you. You need Jesus right now, and he'll make you better with everything that you have right now. And so that's something that I am looking forward to, but you have to learn this. This is why I say we are disciples of Jesus Christ. He came to call disciples. He said, I don't expect you to know everything, but I do expect you to continue to learn more and more how to get better at life. I'm going to show you, why I came in the flesh and lived a spotless, pure life from the womb to the cross. And nobody could take my life from me, he says in John chapter 10. No man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down that I might take it up again. So he came to show you that I can live in the world, even though it's corrupted with sin, has been from Adam all the way up until he was born 2,021 years ago. And he lived that whole time, spotless life, 33 and a half years, and gave his life on the cross. You know what? They tried to kill him, but that wouldn't work. You know why? Because he hadn't sinned. You can beat him all you want. You can spit on him. You can crucify him even. And he still, you can't kill him. That's the truth. That's why Jesus hung there until everything God had promised in his word had been fulfilled to the letter. To the letter. Everything. He took it all, the mockery, the disgrace, the shame, the spitting, the beating, the flogging, everything, he took it all. The sour wine, everything, he took it all. He took all of that, the humiliation, the disgrace, took it all. And none of that killed him. You know, any of that would have killed me. Any of it, not to mention all of it. It would have killed you, beloved. But didn't kill him. You know why? Because he hadn't sinned. Death did not have a license to touch him. That's why he hung there until it was all done. When it was all done, after even God had forsaken him, he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which translates into, my God, why have you forsaken me? He hung there and was forsaken by Almighty God for you and for me, in order that he might fulfill the word of God. So if you want to reject it, you go ahead. But I admonish you, I plead with you today, don't reject it. Accept it. God loves you. That's why you're still here. He could have took you before you realized that Jesus had died for you on the cross. That he shed his blood for you on the tree. He took the thorny crown pressed into his head, mocking him that, oh, you want to be a king? Here, let me put this thorny crown and press it into your skull so you can bleed. Here, you king. That's the way they treated him. Gave him a reed, said, here's your scepter, king. Now took it out of his hand and beat him with it. Think about that just a minute. That's what he did for you and me. You know what? Nothing short of that could have saved you and me. But it shows you how ugly humanity is. It's ugly that you would do that to the Son of God. Very ugly, extremely ugly, the most ugly thing ever happened in the history of man. But he did it for you. You know what it says in Hebrews? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, he's in the place of, that's the son of my right hand, Benjamin, the scripture says. There, Jesus is in that place to ascend to the highest throne that there is at the proper time. So God has allowed all this time from the first advent up until today for the church, as those who truly believe him and by faith embrace the promises that he has made. And we speak them out of our mouth because you speak what you believe. The Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know what? Some of us are speaking fear and inferiority, and we're letting all the stuff in the world make us speak stuff that's holding us down. And we shouldn't do that. Speak the truth. Speak faith. Understand that God will do everything he said. If he said it, speak it. And it will manifest for you because it's truth. And I'm not saying fake it till you make it. I'm saying he said it, and that's it. That's good enough. So if somebody had a bumper sticker talking about, oh, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. You know what the truth is? God said it, that settles it. That's it. So you can say it too. If you believe it, say it. Don't let the devil, the world, the flesh, the false church, mystery Babylon is forming right now with all kinds of harlotry, the Bible calls it. She is the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And you better know she is manifesting all around you. And the truth is, the true church stays right here from cover to cover because God's word will not fail. It's more sure than the ground you and I are standing on right now. So the fact is, David understood that. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord, that's the Most High God, imputeth not iniquity. In other words, he will not hold the fact that you have a warped nature against you, and in whose spirit there is no guile. You got to be truthful with God. You know what? When you understand who God is and he is perfectly righteous, you have to be truthful. Don't act like you don't have any sin. You know what we do? Just like we mentioned in the previous lesson, and I'm going to have to move quick because my time's running out. But the truth is, we see the problems other people have. Well, I can look over there and see what's wrong with you. But Jesus said, you know what the issue is? Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but you don't see the beam in your own? That's a big problem. There is, and for lack of a better term, there is some people who have a high level of sin, and they think, oh, because I'm up here and my sins are mental, and you over there and you struggling with sexual sin, or you over there and you struggling with any kind of other sin. We isolate sin, and we find that sin over there is oppressive, and that's awful. But we can have prejudice. That's as big of a sin as any other sin. We tolerate prejudice. We tolerate all this kind of stuff because it's obvious. Look at the country. Look at all the confusion in the last few months. So we tolerate all of that. Oh, it's political. Well, political is not something that God has told you. There's one kingdom, and it is the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, the Bible says. God says, yet have I set my king on my holy hill in Zion, in Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? All of that is a bunch of rage and vanity. He says, yet have I set my king, speaking about Jesus. Read Psalm 2 when you get a minute. I got to go on. So here I want you to see David understood that there are the psalmist. He fully understood that nobody anywhere could be saved by their own good works, apart from the forgiveness of Almighty God, who has divided all people into groups, which are the ones whose transgressions are not covered, that's one group, and the ones whose are. You're either in one group or the other. You're in the group of those whose transgressions are covered, like David said, how blessed I am. Why? Because God has covered my transgression, and he won't impute my sin to my account. You see, and I'm being truthful. That's what it means, that in whom there is no guile. See, you got to be truthful about where you are. So if you're not saying the truth, you know what? You still have guile. You need to get rid of it. God will let you do it right now, right after this message. We'll pray on it. And the fact is, there's no big sin, no little sin. So David said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Iniquity means natural fallenness that you came here with when you were born. Nothing you can do about it. It's in your spirit. That's the reason we keep doing it, is we have a tendency to keep doing it. Doesn't mean it's okay either. But being a disciple is where you learn how to put the sin in check and to deal with it and help get it out of your life. And God wants to do that. It says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. So David goes on to say here that because there are none who are righteous on their own, understand that. You can't be righteous on your own. And just because you don't drink, you don't smoke, and you don't go out with girls who do, I've heard somebody say that crazy thing, doesn't mean you're righteous. Righteousness is a gift given to you by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And that alone, God is trying to be very plain. He is not trying to make anything complicated. And so we have to understand the simplicity of God's word. Amen. So that's how simple it is. But there's no big sin, no little sin. Sin will be judged in proportion to the dimension and the size of it, but there is no big sin, no little sin. So let's go back on. I want you to see one more passage here before we wrap these things up. Time's getting away. Matthew 13, verse 24 through 30. Another parable. Jesus spoke in parables. This is what it means to be a disciple, a learner. Jesus uses parables to give a lot of information in a short time by comparing different thoughts to lay one thought alongside another. And that's kind of what we have here in Matthew 13, one of the parables of the kingdom. Verse 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? And from whence then hath it tares? Where these weeds come from in here? Thought you sowed good seed. Then he goes on to say, verse 29, but he said, nay, lest while verse 28. He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? He said, shall we just go snatch them all out? And the owner says in verse 29, but he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. He said, I'll deal with it myself. You don't try to pull them up. And let me say to you today, we spend a lot of time trying to rip tares up, and we run folks out the church, and we run people out, and that's not our purpose. It's not our business to try to sift through and pull the weeds out of the church, because you know what? You don't know who the weeds are. Somebody might look at you and say, yeah, there's a weed there. Got to get that one out of here. Ah, there's one over there. Got to get that one out of here. Ah, this one here, these are not acceptable. You know what? You are not qualified to judge somebody else. The truth is, if people are struggling in sin, we want to help each other. Fellowship is totally acceptable, and we believe in that, and we want to pray together. Like the Bible says, confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much, but it's a little line you can go over, and now I'm going too far. Because all people like you, we can't accept you, or folk of that color, or this here, you do that, or this political persuasion, and not that. We do all kinds of stuff. And we create situations that drive people away from Christ, truth be told. The fact is, the Lord says, you let them grow together. That's not your business. I put it this way, and I say this, Jesus told Peter when he called him in Luke 5, he was fishing out in the sea, and he told him that, you know what, I'm going to make you become fishers of men. You're going to stop fishing for fish, Peter, and fish for men. When you pull up fish, you might pull up anything. You don't know what you may get. You might get some fish, too. But you may pull up some stuff you don't really want to deal with. There may be some other creatures in there that are inedible. And there may be some other stuff that in there in the net. But you pull it all up, you just drop it in, and that's how fishing is done. He says, well, same thing with you're going to be fishers of men. I'm sending you out to tell the people I love them. I've given my son for them. He was crucified for them. I allowed him to take their punishment up on the cross. I allowed him to shed the blood to satisfy my wrath and my judgment against all sin for all time. And whoever trusts in him, whosoever, understand that, will not perish, but have everlasting life. And so that's our message, and we want to let you know whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're dealing with, God is able to help you. He's helping us with whatever we're dealing with. He's helping us with all of our problems and many things. And we're learning as being disciples how to get more like Christ day by day. And that's the ultimate goal. That's what the disciple is to do, is to learn after his teacher and become more like Christ. Got to hurry here. I want you to see this now about these tares and this wheat. In this parable of the tares and the wheat, which are weeds and the wheat, Jesus teaches that there are only two groups, just like David said. In Psalm 32, there's only two groups as well, the saved and the lost, and that it is God who really knows who each group is. Now, you know what? If you're saved, you know you're saved, if you really are saved, if you've been saved according to what God has said in his word, that means you've trusted Christ, Jesus, and him only. You believe that God has raised him from the dead. The Bible says you shall be saved, for if you will confess with your mouth Jesus Christ as Lord. There it is again, saying, speak it out of your mouth, what God said, what thus saith the Lord. If you will confess with your mouth Jesus Christ as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's it. So don't. We're not here to complicate the message. We want to love on you just like Christ did, came all the way off his holy throne face to face with God, to be crucified and spit on a tree, to let a wretch like this and like you, if you trust him, be saved. That's it. God is not trying to make it a complicated thing. If you believe him, he will fill you with the Holy Spirit. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. He will teach you his word. He will teach you to observe all things, whatever he has commanded us. That's what we are supposed to do. The church was dispatched to go and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them. That's why our ministry is teaching Bible. Because that's what God told the church to do. Nothing, all this other stuff they're doing, I don't know. Now, I'm not going to go there today. I don't have time. But teaching Bible is the essence of what God has told the church to do. Go and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's right here. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And so he wants to be with you, and he wants you to learn. He wants us to teach you. We, you know what? We're teaching you what we've learned already. That's the idea of discipleship. He taught that first 12, and they passed it on to thousands more, and it keeps on passing down, and it's come to you today. It's your turn to walk by faith and not by sight. Trust God from here on with the rest of your life. He says, I promise you I will not cast you out. Jesus said, whosoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast him out. He didn't say, oh, if you got this sin or that sin, don't come. No, whosoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast you out. He has promised to keep you, bless you. And you know what? It's the business of the church, not for us to try to cast you out. Not our business to try to cast you out. I want to help you as much as I might need your help to get myself together. And this is the truth, because none of us have fully arrived. And we're all still on the road. So in this parable, he wants you to know that we're to let them grow together and that he will take care of the sorting at the appropriate time. God's going to sort it out. And we may not know. I bet you there are going to be some surprises on Judgment Day. But the best thing you can do is stay in his word. Get in the rightly divided word of truth. Stay in a church that's keeping you in the word of God, constantly keeping your mind in the word. We don't need a bunch of stuff. You know, there's so much stuff people write today, it's almost sickening. All the stuff, and it's okay to read commentaries, and I'm not shooting that all down. But what we need is this. This is the consummate total of what people need to get right. We just need to understand it. God says, I will give you understanding. He said this in Jeremiah 3:15, I will give you pastors after my own heart to feed you on knowledge and understanding. You got to understand it. Get in the book. Well, we got 400 seminars coming up, and we're going to talk about this, that, and the other, and cow sauce and apple butter. That won't help you. It may help you to some degree if it's based on this. But what we need is the sincere milk of the word, Peter said. That like newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. See, that's what we really need. So we got to stay there. Now I got to go. Time's almost gone.
It is at the very height of necessity that we all each live as we are in the course of our discipleship. In other words, everybody's at a different spot in that learning from the Lord. You are. You can start anywhere. Come on in. Be in the kindergarten. That's fine. But you're going to keep on progressing. God, who began that good work in you, Philippians 1:6 says, Paul says, I am confident of this very thing, that he which has began a good work in you shall continue to perform it even until the day of Jesus Christ. God's never going to let you go. He's going to keep you moving forward in his word until you understand it better. And as you understand it better, by and by, as the song says, God is going to make you a better man or a better woman than you are right now. So we need to understand this, that it is in the very height of necessity that we all each live as we are in the course of our discipleship. Stay a disciple all your life. No one will ever graduate until Christ calls you home. Serving Jesus at all costs, whatever it costs you, say, I'm going to be a disciple. I'm going to learn. I'm going to dedicate the time, take the opportunity. I'm going to follow the course in the Word. I'm going to stay in the Word. Get in the church and stay in there until I get somewhere where I need to be, where I can see that path of progress in my own life. And that's where we need to be. And so in order to be sure that we are in the group that is gathered into the Lord's barn, that's the group I want to be in. I'm aiming my life toward the Lord's barn. I want him to gather me and take me into his barn. I want to be like David, who says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's where I'm heading, right there. And I want to stay on that. The only one who can determine that, beloved, is you. Not the group that will be destroyed into eternal wrath and judgment from God. There's only two groups. Somebody might tell you, there's 4,726 denominations, and they probably are. But you better get in the Word and get into a church that's going to get you into the Word and realize that salvation is only by Christ and is only a free gift, and it's for whosoever trusts him and believes in him. Beloved, if that's you today, I want to invite you to pray with me. Amen. Like to pray for salvation. God will save you. He wants to save you. He's anxious to save you. That's why I'm still here. And all of a sudden, he's still here. That's why I'm here. For the same reason. Yep, I haven't done anything perfect. I've still got issues. But God is blessing and giving me. That's why David is a blessing to the man who used transgressions. That's where you got to be. God wants you to be there. So pray with me. God wants you. Lord God, in Jesus' matchless name, we praise you today, Father, we bless you. We have heard the gospel, and it is really good news that you accept us right now just like we are. That only you can change us, Father. So we come to you to accept the free gift that you've given through the Son of Jesus Christ. And Father, some of us have been saved a long time. We just want to thank you for keeping us on the course. But somebody's praying right now who's never been saved, Lord. Save them right now. Fill them with your Spirit, guide them to a church where they can be discipled and learn and start to grow in grace, like you've done all of us, everyone from the ages of the apostles, clear on up to today. And Father, we thank you so much that you raised your Son out the grave, so even when death is looming over the world, like it is now, in so many ways, well, we don't have to worry. We're covered. So Father, we bless you, we give you praise. We give you glory today. We thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you that he was willing to be crucified in order to settle our debt with you. And so, Father, we give you praise right now. We glorify your holy name. Thank you today, Lord God. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Bless every heart that's praying to receive you today. And we give you the glory and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can reach us and on the Cash App prayer. If you like to donate, help the ministry, or you can also send a donation to P.O. Box 210301, St. Louis, Missouri, 63121. And we will appreciate your help and support in getting the gospel out to the world. Amen.